Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, Kix.
Hello.
What's up?
Just chilling.
Wow.
I loved our episode last week.
Oh,
I
my loved gosh, sorry, it a lot. I swear that was probably a bad idea.
Just
I did
thinking
too.
About Monique, just thinking about her, really makes me laugh.
Oh, she's taking it.
It's just she's a star. She's also a star, an actress. And so the fact that she allowed us to have that moment was pretty, it felt good.
We haven't really talked about this. I feel like we haven't talked about it in a long time, if we have talked about it, but on Las Culturistas, they play a game called star or actress, and we have kind of adopted it as our own and play it with our friends. It becomes a bit divisive with our friends, but we do love to play it. And you essentially like name a we like to go female because we only worship females,
yes,
really.
Yeah, totally.
We don't worship really any men, even gay men, honestly. you can worship me though. And absolutely worship Kix.
Thank you.
And Kix, I would say you are a star.
Okay.
Not an actress, probably, right?
I don't know. I mean, that's nice of you, I think, to say.
I mean, in star or actress, I think you're a star.
I think, well, now I'm scared. Because I was going to say, I think you're a star too. But you're also, you also literally have a degree in acting. And I also think you're a very talented
I would rather
actor.
Be a star. I would rather be a star than an actress.
Great.
So there we go. Yeah, so we just name someone and you say star or actress. Most people are one or the other. Like, for instance, Monique has an Oscar, but she is a star.
Yeah. I think she's Nicole really Kidman is a good example of star as well, even though she's also an actress.
Yes.
I would say she's star first.
I agree, because she brings this kind of star gravitas to...
Yeah.
Her roles. Someone in the kind of current conversation that I think it, my take may be controversial, but I actually think Margot Robbie is actress, not star.
Interesting. I thought you were going to say Jennifer Aniston, because that's always divisive. You are Annie head till you die.
Annie?
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, I thought you meant like a Little Orphan.
Little Orphan Annie. Yeah.
I was like, was she in that?
I feel like you would fight for her to be an actress, not a star.
No, to me, she's a star.
I think she's a star, but you will die for her for it to be a comedic actress.
No, you can't bring an adjective into the actress category. That's not the game. It's not dramatic actress or comedic actress. It's star or actress. She brings you when she, and I am a... I don't know if y'all know this listening to the pod, but and Kix is in the similar boat. Friends is just very.
It goes right.
Not my.
Through my
thing.
Ear. I was going to say over my head, but it doesn't go over my head because I get it. But I don't
It's
laugh.
Similar to Taylor Swift to me, where like I feel when I see people enjoy it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy that they have this because I have other things that I love. I just physically am not like. I cannot connect. And I literally will watch, like one of our best friends, Dan, is a diehard Friends person. And he'll just sit and watch it and cackle. And I'll just like, I feel like I'm having an outer body experience watching him from above, watching him laugh at something I find deeply unfunny.
I agree. I think it's very, my hair is really crazy today. I do think it's very unfunny. But I oddly know everything about it. Cause that's also my MO is that for some reason I know everything about television, like all of these television shows that I haven't seen. Bachelor Nation.
So maybe you are an actress cause you're a scammer.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Speaking of scamming, I just finished Scamanda.
Yeah.
I know I'm late to the party, but Holy crap.
Yeah, so there's this podcast called Scamanda. The name is kind of a lol, to be honest.
Yes, and it's deadly serious, but like...
Now, a couple takeaways. So it's what it's about is this woman who very kind of Brooks, Orange County-esque, fakes cancer. She's much better at it than Brooks. Mm-hmm. She has more of a long haul.
She's a professional scammer.
Yeah, and makes a lot of money from just GoFundMe.
$100,000.
Or more, though, no, it's right?
She's like in the court. I mean, spoiler alert.
That's what she's being tried for, yeah. Or found guilty for.
Yeah.
So it was over the span of like 10 years, right?
At least. People think it might have gone back to further too.
Yeah. So what she does is she kind of smartly, this is a smart move, targeting like, you know, church and young adult church youth groups,
mega
and
church.
Mega churches where people like really want to find like a sense of belonging and are very open-hearted and ready to give. She like inserts herself in them, and I think she even was kind of like, I think she would even lead worship sometimes, mm-hmm. and then like in that was like, I need you to pray for me because I'm dealing with, I think, lymphoma, right?
Lymphoma, yeah. And it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Because the producer and the host of the podcast found out about this story, like, while post her being, like, indicted, but, and so she's an author, a writer who investigative journalismed this whole thing and really is the reason this woman like went to prison, or now literally is sitting in prison. And so they are producing the show together, and it's just what unfolds is quite fucking crazy. I highly recommend.
I only have one thing. I cannot stand the journalist woman. She is so obsessed with her. And that's the only thing for me that bothers me is I wish that people who had been suspicious and like had come for, I wish that story had unfolded more than the journalist is in it and makes it about like her obsession with the scam.
I actually disagree. And I don't think it's about her at all. It bothers me.
I think she inserts her whole pussy in it.
I mean, the bonus episodes are really fascinating.
Oh, I didn't listen to both. I didn't listen
I
to bonus.
I highly recommend. They're fascinating. They talk to people that pre-podcast didn't know about, and post-podcast they're like, oh my God, she fucked me over as the principal of my school. Or like, they were coworkers of her when she was at college and all this kind of crazy stuff. So I may not be watching it with my eyes, but I am listening with my brain. So
you're drawing a picture with your brain, yes. Like when you listen.
Well, what I was watching while I was listening was Zelda Tears of the Kingdom for 6 hours straight.
I'm so behind. I haven't played it in like months.
Tough. It's so fun.
I know. Well, we're going away and I'll definitely play it then.
Yeah. I refuse to end it.
I still haven't beaten the fourth boss.
Oh, I did that. I have all four. I all have four sages. I'm working on the fifth right now.
There's a fifth?
There's a secret sage.
Is that the robot man?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it. Yeah. This is so fascinating to everyone. Or maybe it is. Maybe it is. You do care about Tears of the Kingdom. No, but go listen to Scamanda. It's pretty good. I have issues with the journalist, but I really like the host.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people are so... Like when journalists are so entrenched in stories, and I have this issue with someone that I think is very well loved, Sarah Koenig. She just inserts herself. I don't like the inserting yourself into something that's not about you.
As a host of a podcast, that is honestly, that is so anti-podcast of you to say something so wretched about her.
About the original podcast.
She is the origin of, while she is the reason podcasts are what they are today.
To me, my North Star is like Bitch Sesh and like Paul Scheer.
Yeah, but that came out like 5 years after her.
How did this get made? Started in 2012.
Still, that is like 2 years after Sarah Koenig. That's what I'm saying. You can't say that kind of stuff when we have a podcast.
What do you think is going to happen? Do you think the Apple gods are going to come in and hear me say Sarah Koenig? Bolt. Should I bleep her name?
No.
I hope
she comes for us on Instagram.
You overestimate the reach we have.
No, I just feel so sad that you feel so negatively about
Cereal. I like Cereal, but at some point I want to be like, give it up. Like, he doesn't want to date you.
Tom, oh my God.
She's just obsessed with him.
You know what? She did a great fucking thing.
She did do, well, yes. You're missing the point. I am not saying that her actions of like getting, like being a part of him getting out of prison were not like positive. And I'm not saying like her revealing this story and revealing all he's watching it consume her. I'm like, why are we not, I feel like we should talk more about like those around him. Like, I wish there was more stories about them than about her experience. The whole podcast.
You really think, like, she wants to fuck him?
Kinda. She's in love. She's in love with him in some way. She definitely is in love with him in some way. You don't think so?
No.
She spent 10 plus years being obsessed with him.
Agree to disagree. Yes, she's obsessed with him, but not in a I want to fuck this man.
I don't even know what she looks like. If I saw her on the street, I'm sorry to this woman.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what she looks like?
Nope, no idea.
But if I heard her voice, I'd be like, gotta run and hide. I talk shit about her the one time.
The podcast gods are going to strike you down. That's it. That's a hot take.
I guess that is a hot take for people who really love podcasts. But also, my other defense to my theory on this is every other season of that show flopped.
The first one and the second one were actually good, and then it got really bad.
Because she was in love with her character. They did. They flopped. I liked Shit Town. That was a Serial spinoff, but that was someone else doing it.
Yeah.
Who did that?
No idea.
I don't know. We're here, a podcast that recaps podcasts.
Yeah.
That would be an awful podcast.
Unfortunately, I would probably. And we're doing it. We're here.
Like a recap podcast of podcasts you don't want to take the time to listen to. Well, besides Serial, what else are you watching?
I'm caught up on most things but Crappy Lake, which I know is so frustrating to everybody.
No, I'm not. I'm behind on Crappy Lake as well.
Party.
Okay, so here's my thing with Crappy Lake. I think I'm going to just binge it on like a weekend in the future. There's something about putting them after the new Roni that feels kind of sad.
Yeah. Do you know because what I mean? I agree. It's also kind of like it is such a fun idea, but for some reason it feels like a little bit of a flop. Maybe that's just because I'm not caught up, but I feel like their time on television
has come to an end.
I love them, and both of them are some of my favorite housewives of all time. But I just don't really, I'm laughing, but I am not obsessed with it.
It's just different. It's not, it's a very quick little, but there's also, I think there's like 12 episodes or something.
It feels like a Quibi show.
You brought up Quibi last time, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Someone has brought up Quibi so many times.
But you know what I mean? Lately. It feels like it should be a Quibi show. 10 minutes shorter. Yours should
be even shorter.
Yeah.
Maybe.
How's Quibi doing? I know she went out of business.
What do you mean? Quibi's not a thing.
I thought it was kind of fun. I used it.
It was fun until the global pandemic hit and everyone had all the time in the world. And I was like, I actually have hours. I'd rather not watch 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
The world was not on their, the CDC was not on their side on that. Did you hear there's a new variant and it has like a kind of chic name?
Oh shit. I do need to get COVID. I'm testing with COVID after this.
It's called EG.9. Doesn't that sound like an Erica Jane album title?
Yeah. It's like when she comes back from like.
Like reclaiming Erica Girardi.
Yeah.
EG9.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Or like her clone.
Yes. EG number 9.
When we're watching Beverly Hills in 100 years.
And yeah, they're all still alive because of somehow Ozempic turns everybody like.
Did you see the Kyle?
Kyle and what's his face from Flip Flop. That was a really fucked up thing to say.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Flip or flop? Flop or flip? What's that? Jeff Lewis?
Oh, what Jeff Lewis said about Kyle? You're talking in riddles. I know no one understands what you meant. You were like, I actually don't even know what you said was English. I'm sorry. You're saying what Jeff Lewis said about her. I thought it was kind of hilarious.
I mean, I guess in context, because he's also a huge famous asshole, it is kind of funny. But
for those that don't know, Jeff Lewis said on SiriusXM, my friend Kyle, aka
Ozempic.
My lesbian friend on Ozempic.
I feel crazy. This whole I know we're really. I mean, what else do we do but jump around here? So, the Kyle being in this music video of the alleged woman she's fucking as playing the love interest is giving very much like Chrishell and G Flip vibes.
It's identical.
What's also giving identical.
Kim Zolciak and that woman she dated. Do you remember that? Early Atlanta. It's also giving Daniel Staub and the music producer.
It's just. And then she's. I mean, what's crazy is that for like a good 2 weeks, she was on social media, like, leave my family alone. And then she's on social media posting herself at like her girlfriend's concert. And it's like, well, why don't you just take some time off the internet and if you don't want to be screamed at because you're doing things that people are going to talk about.
I know she's but she loves.
She's a
loves
baiter. Attention. She loves to do this.
She's concert. A baiter. Yeah. Put that on her tombstone. A baiter. Is she a master at that?
Is she a master? Maybe.
She is master at baiting people into storylines. I'll give her that.
It feels really annoying to me. And it's like, somehow she manages to always make things come back to her. And so now she's like, I don't know. I just frustrated. It's just annoying because she bitched and moaned about people talking about her on social media. And then she's doing all this stuff for people to talk about on social media.
She's a reality star. Like she's not, she's phony. She's always had the eye of kind of the public and the camera. She knows what makes good TV.
Yeah.
So she's going to tease us. The Morgan Wade, though, there's a lot of it that troubles me a little bit. Her age troubles me.
I have no idea who that woman is. I know she's a singer.
She's like 29. And not that 29-year-olds can't date 50-year-olds. Go off. But there's just something about a mom who has a daughter
of who's Farrah 27?
Farrah is like older than me. And then like the oldest of the Mauricio kids is probably late 20s.
Really hate that.
That's just weird.
No, it's fucking strange.
And also, once again, we don't know that they're together, but
and love is love.
Love is love. That's what I say to Sarah Koenig and Adnan. No, it's weird. The music video is bizarre that she's in the music video as Morgan's love interest.
I don't like it.
No one cares that, like, you're doing things while separated. If the agreement works, like, that all works.
Yeah.
It's the way she's, like, teasing that nothing's happening. She's just teasing it, and it's exhausting to me. And it kind of is weird. It gives me a bad taste in my mouth about her.
Which I never have a really amazing taste in my mouth about her, so.
Who do you have an amazing taste in your mouth about?
That's a good question. I do think all of the girls of Real Housewives of New York.
Except, give you great tastes.
Except Psy.
I like Psy.
I'm loving the season, and I'm loving all the women. I just can't, crack her in my brain.
I'm liking her more. She's kind of an asshole, but I like that. I like how she's just kind of, I like how she does not really care about the show.
Totally.
There's a level of this is who she is that I'm appreciating that I need Brynn to kind of find. Because Brynn to me is, I understand why people are like liking her. I think we all need to like kind of release the she's iconic. We don't know this
woman. We did this with Heather Gay and look at her now. So
right. I mean, I don't, well, never mind. Oh. To say, I don't know if any Mormons are iconic.
Well, oh my gosh. I mean, not to really, whatever, who cares?
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that after this. Okay. No, but Brynn to me, compelling week, learning a lot about her life. I think it's fascinating. I think she's a great television character. I think she just is entering into this with a different mindset than the other women. She's entering into it like, I've made it. I'm a housewife. She's friends with Lisa Vanderpump. She knows.
She's also our age.
Is she? Or is she a little bit older? She's Pandora's age. So I think she's maybe a little bit older than me, but close to me. Because she like was besties with Pandora, Lisa Vanderpump's daughter. They like kind of grew up together as like influencers, I think. And then that's how she met LVP. And then I think that's how she, because she kind of knows people in the Bravosphere, which I think is how she got kind of involved in the show. But if you know Lisa Vanderpump, Lisa, and you're on a reality show, I'm sure Lisa Vanderpump has given you a call and talked to you about do's and don'ts of being on camera. And totally. I just think she's entering in on that. Where Breakout Star to me, because I don't really like her, but she has a star quality as Jessel.
I agree. I think she's crushing it. And I think it's hilarious too, because she was the sleeper hit in everybody's mind pre-show. It was like, who is this woman? Now she just puked at a launch party. What are we going to get ourselves into? Nobody knows anything about her. Blah, 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 blah. And so the way that she's becoming like this
monster,
like, monster slash villain of the season is so funny to me, because we are watching her whole, we're watching it unfold because of like just how little we knew about her, like I was saying, and how like the vomiting up the premiere, and like it's just like all adding up to be really like some sort of like iconography, if you will.
I agree. And there's a level of delusion that works so well for TV. And I think she really thought filming this show that she was going to come across like the smartest, like
sweetest.
Most,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, sweetest and like most versed in like culture, like in what it is to be a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. Right. And she continues to be deeply out of touch. Even what she's wearing, she looks insane.
She looks crazy. I'm obsessed with every single woman on the show has a place there. And that's what I'm just loving about the casting, is that you may disagree with me, but I don't find anybody who is not needed and who is like a sleeper hit.
I think they're all needed.
Like, I think that every one of them is shining. I think this episode, we got so much more of Uba, which I'm so happy to see, because she's so hilarious and also just like excellent.
I know. And I'm honestly, y'all, I see these Bravo Instagram accounts that are like, are we going to finally talk about how it's boring? I'm like, it's the first season of a show. It's not season 14. It's the first season of a show.
What's boring about it?
They're getting to know each other. And a lot's happening. Have you fucking watched Selling Sunset? Nothing happens on
like,
that
show. Like, they're literally, and it's the best kind of reality TV, in my opinion. It's like, they're fighting about shakshuka. They're fighting about, like, a cheese board, which may or may not be about cocaine. They're fighting about, like, this stupid not missing a dinner. Like, it's just the surface level of reality TV that we love, but also, like, the mix of them actually being humans. Like, just talking to, like, when we get that moment with Uba and her friend, her business partner, it's like, those are, like, real moments, but we also get the stupid, like, cheese yelling conversation.
I do love that you have somehow thought that that was about cocaine. The rumor was that they were talking about ex-cast member.
No.
I think you're getting, like the pasta conversation confused with the cheese.
No, I'm not getting the pasta conversation confused with it. I know what the pasta conversation is. Noor from our dear
said
friend
that
Noor.
It's about Lizzie. The cheese is Lizzie.
Is Coke.
No, is Lizzie, the girl who was racist, and they can't talk about her. So they're talking about Cheesegate because they're trying to use code words to be like,
I could have sworn.
Can you believe it's not? I promise you it's not cocaine.
Whatever.
But I stick to your story.
Let's spread the rumor around.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like that. It's just funny to me. No. So did you see the preview of next week about this Tribeca conversation? This is New York to me. And this is like the elitist bullshit.
They look like they're sitting at the Roxy, which is in Tribeca.
Do you think that's where they are? So this conversation feels so deeply Luann and Alex McCord to me.
Totally.
And I'm like, that's the show you fell in love with forever ago. We're here, babe. It's going to take, we're not going to get to... I think we will eventually get to Scary Island with this group of girls.
Absolutely.
It's only going to happen. Fame is going to get to their heads. Some of them are going to like launch failed businesses. Someone's going to have financial issues. It's all going to always unfold that way. And this scene felt so Alex McCord and Luann to me. If you haven't seen it, go to Bravo's Instagram. They posted this sneak peek of next week and all of the accounts are kind of like going crazy about it. But Jessel goes to meet Aaron down in Tribeca at a restaurant by where she lives. She lives in Tribeca. And Jessel's like, it's so cute down here.
Where the fuck does Jessel live?
I think she lives in either like Flatiron, Murray Hill, Upper East Side, that kind of like area, middle to east.
I guess Fideye for some reason.
Or maybe you're right. Maybe it is Fideye. But Fideye to me is like is the apocalypse down there.
Looks like Dallas, Texas.
It's not New York. No, it's not. We have friends that live in Fideye, I
should say. Sorry.
Great apartments in and they do listen. So I just want to say great, beautiful apartments in Fideye. It's not my New York. It just feels very removed from my knowledge of New York. Just to cover us, Kix.
You started it. You started it. Do not point at me. I just said I think she lives in Fida, and you're like, well, that's more of the apocalypse.
And then you said, no, it's like Dallas, Texas. There's nothing.
Which I think is a better compliment than it being the fucking apocalypse. Do not you're twist right. this.
It, I'm not twisting. I'm just saying we both participated in talking shit about an area in which we have friends.
Anyway.
No,
continue.
She says, she sits down and Aaron's like, don't you love this spot? This is like my spot. And Jessel is like, yeah, I love it. You know, I'm having a lot of friends move down here. It just feels like very up and coming. And Aaron goes, is it up and coming? I mean, like, we're here. It's here. Like, it's happening. And then Jessel says the most bizarrely iconic line. She goes, is it there? That is so nasty. Aaron lives there.
It's like it's the hottest spot for rich people to live.
Beyonce and Jay-Z owned a penthouse in Tribeca.
If you want to buy
years ago.
A $71,000 coffee table and then a painting the size of a building and spend all your money around the corner, it's there. You want to go to like a restaurant, and spend half my rent. It's also there. Mm-hmm. It's more up and coming than anywhere.
Like I feel like the last up and coming was like Greenpoint, but even that's not up and coming anymore. I feel like now up and coming is like
Red Hook.
What, Bushwick?
No, what's past Bushwick? It's like where everybody goes right now.
Ridgewood?
Ridgewood.
Yeah, where the Chili's is.
Yeah.
Shout out. They were the first to make it up and coming.
Hilarious. No, but
it is hilarious. And then, of course, Aaron, who I kind of love to hate and hate to love.
Yeah.
She's like, that is so offensive to me as a real estate,
she's so crazy.
I don't know.
Contractor.
Queen.
Interior designer.
I'm like, it's not, okay.
Are let's you offended?
Take a deep breath. It's not offensive. Also,
just laugh.
Tribeca isn't that cool to live in. So I don't know why you're also that excited to live there in my mind. I mean, I think it's a beautiful place, It's just a, like, for me, if I had that money, I would rather live in a huge apartment in the West Village and have like the vibes of the West Village. What about you? If you had the Tribeca money, where would you live?
I would probably live in Cobble Hill, like where Cy lives.
Agreed. I think that's like perfect spot. And you have like a house.
A house.
Yeah.
With a yard.
Yeah, I agree. See, I'm more of a Manhattan girl. Like, I think I would like that better, but
don't get me wrong. I would love an apartment of that size on the, in the West Village. It's so funny. You know, and it's great. It's like unintentional, like, branding. It's like, you're going to make 100 shirts that say Tribeca's home of up and coming XYZ or something. You know, it's like, there's merch there.
Agreed. The show will continue to unfold. And I also feel like the there's going to be more drama that plays out now that they're watching the show back. I'm having a great time.
Jessel is kind of the target of, and then there's also like little clickies happening, like with Jenna and Aaron and Brynn. I feel like they have kind of a little chisme.
Can we talk about how Jessel walks up to Aaron and is like, I didn't know your dad. Oh, not your dad. Your grandmother was sick.
My God.
I'm so sorry. How was the memorial? And Aaron's like, the thing is, Aaron is just like New York, born and raised. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it was fine. It was, I mean, what do you think? Like, she's very Bethany.
You'll fucking die.
She's
like,
someone's dead. It's not, it wasn't great. And then like the conversation just continues to be so weird. And then Jessel ends it with like, well, I hope it went well. I was lolling.
I was like,
can you imagine
cackling.
Saying to someone
it was so
about
ridiculous.
A funeral? I hope it went well.
You mean a burial of my grandmother?
Well, she's dead. It didn't go great.
And she was like, well, she was 94, but that doesn't make it easier. And she couldn't stop talking about it. It was like,
yeah,
she doesn't have like a sense to read the room. And that, I think that's like makes excellent Bravo housewife.
Agreed. I think she has been a surprise for me and a very genius casting move by
I feel like she's a surprise for everybody, truly.
I think she's a surprise for herself.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Which I love to see that. Mm-hmm. So I'm having a good time. Now, something that happened that we didn't touch on at the beginning of this week's episode was that Kix made quite the pilgrimage last weekend.
No pun intended, because that's also a huge Mormon thing.
The pun was intended.
Oh, got it. Okay. So I was in, literally, this is not a joke, the most beautiful city I've ever been to in the United States. Salt Lake City is, I was there for one of my dearest friend's weddings. And I had like a couple hours to kill. And I was like, looking where our hotel was, looking where some of these like Salt Lake City spots were from the Real Housewives. So I was like, well, shit. Beauty Lab and Laser is a stone's throw away from the hotel we were staying at, and was like on the way to downtown from where we were staying. And so I made the trek to the parking lot of Beauty Lab and Laser. It was a dump.
Yeah, tell everyone what else kind of like occupies that strip.
Yeah, that's a great question. I do want to say though, while like on the way there, the Uber driver kept being like, I'm sorry, I'm lost. You know where we're going. I'm like, no, you picked me up from a hotel. No, I have no
like,
idea
you
where
think
we're going.
I know. No,
I put in the, I, well, mall. I put in the Walgreens that's like down the strip mall from it, because I actually needed some things. And then I got kind of embarrassed to be like in a parking lot taking photos of a place where someone got arrested.
You're not the first or the last.
No,
to do
certainly.
That,
so. I was honestly surprised there was nobody else there.
Well.
Okay. So I get there. My jaw continues to be on the floor because right next to it is a Dollar Tree.
The story should be told. Jen Shah was arrested outside of a Dollar Tree.
Yes.
Not Jen Shah was arrested outside of a beauty lab.
Well, the neighborhood it's in, like, I don't want an inside baseball, but it is very much like a small town
It's suburbia,
but it's not like it's not like a up and coming suburbia. It's like a this building's Tribeca. Been here for 80 years and we're in Tribeca. Right. No, it's not the nicest place I've ever seen in my life. And then it being in a strip mall next to a Dollar Tree, and then there was like a FedEx store and like a shitty Chinese food place that had nobody in it. Like it was a in a Big Lots. That was the other one. That was on the other side of it, was a Big Lots.
So you can go get a facelift, and then after the facelift, because you've grabbed spent all your some money Chinese on the facelift,
food, and then grab some Chinese food, go to the dollar store.
Yeah, I mean, I love a dollar store. I'm not going to say it's I don't like it, but it's just trouble. It's like a very high low kind of.
No, it's hilarious because she is on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and is this woman of like everybody's obsessed with her, and she has all of this, like she's like a normal girl. It makes the normalness feel a little bit more normal because her business is just a business.
Yeah, she has a wall with a Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
It's just why there, you know, is kind of like my
I imagine she got question. A great deal on the real estate.
I'm sure she did. Now she has some other locations, I believe, right?
I don't know.
Is that the only
this
one?
This was the only one. Find? I think in the last season they were talking about opening another location, but this was like the one. And then I also stumbled my little size 8 feet next to Meredith Marks, like second location in Park City.
I've heard the stores. Those stores are like the size of like my closet. They're so little.
It's certainly smaller than my apartment.
Yeah, yeah. So, but my point to that is, I don't think that's where the money's being made.
No. It's also not the one that they show on TV. It's not where this Jen one was stole like the purse. Even smaller than that one. They had like I'm disengaging merch in the window, which I thought was pretty hilarious because it's like, girl, like what?
Those ladies bother me.
Yeah. I'm not really overly excited for it to come back. I'm excited for Mary because she's like a homophobe that we all kind of don't care that she's a homophobe.
This is a potential mother.
But yeah, I'm not thrilled.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't want them to fight about the same shit they've been fighting about. Then a note that all shows should take from the ladies of Potomac, although recently they haven't been following this as much, Old New York, is like the leaving the season when it ends, picking up filming, we're in a new thing. Let's fight about new shit. The last season, all they did was fight about the shit that happened last time.
And yeah. Then
it's like, what? Oh my God. Like, I can't keep up. So I'm hoping that it's better, but I also saw today that apparently Married to Medicine is back in November, which I'm so excited for.
That's I owe that a full rewatch / watch because I only watched one season.
Which season?
Like one of, not the last season, but the season before that.
You need to start from the beginning. Yeah. Got to. And we'll do that when that show comes on. Totally. We'll watch season one, episode one.
I am also watching, I am in and out of OC. I watched the most recent episode.
The most recent one was so snoozy. I mean, what happened was they had that bizarre dinner with Jen's husband, Ryan, or boyfriend, who has that coat.
Is this the first time we're seeing him?
No. This is the first time he's filmed with people outside of just Jen. He's filmed with Jen, but not with the others.
He looks and like he should be up on the Jersey Shore in the year of 2007.
He does. And he hand paints all of his denim wear with bizarre graffiti.
Yeah, he does.
How many people were scared? Me too. I was really, really scared.
And the way she was like, I thought he was such a weirdo when I met him. I'm like, trust your gut, girl.
What about now? Where are you at with him now? Because he's a little cuckoo.
Oh, boy. I just like seeing how rich Heather Dubrow is.
I know a lot of people don't like Heather. I love her. I want her always on. And I just wish she wouldn't buy a house in Beverly Hills and try and leave. I want her to stay.
I mean, she's going to LA. That's essentially Beverly Hills, so.
No, the house is in Beverly Hills. This is what I'm saying.
Oh.
But I think she probably wants to be on that show, not this show. And I'm like, no, this is the show you're on. Because I don't think Beverly, I think everyone in Beverly Hills would be like, you're so phony.
And she'd be like, who the fuck are you?
They thought I was phony in OC and I'm phony here. Does that mean I'm phony?
Let me try Salt Lake City. Yeah. She would eat those women alive.
She would, maybe. I think most people will eat her alive. I don't think she's as scary as we think.
No, I don't think she's scary. I just think that, like, they wouldn't know what to do. And her and Mary would become friends.
Yeah. I her and Mary.
Oh, no. She has a whole slew. She would have issues with Mary
because she has a lot of gay kids. She has a whole slew of gay kids, Kick said.
Wow.
Say, our parents can say the same thing. So.
Yes, they can. No, the only other thing that the story still continues to unfold in a bizarre way is the story that Ryan, Jen's husband, sent a dick pic to like all these people.
Why are we talking and about that? Like,
apparently it was on Snapchat. Now, I didn't know
how old
people
is this
above,
man? Get the fuck off Snapchat.
I didn't know people above the age of like 18 use Snapchat anymore.
I agree.
The kids still use it.
No, I know. I know an adult who still uses it.
That's hard for me to hear. But he sent his, you know, he sent his peen out to a lot of people, apparently. And no one wanted to see it.
He sexually harassed people. That's what we should be really talking about. So.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's coming when you open a Snapchat. So you open it. That's
you don't know what's coming.
Wow.
If I got his dick in a Snapchat, I welcome dick pics, honestly. It's kind of fun. No?
Fuck no.
I mean, you're not gay, so. The gays send dick pics like it's just like.
Here's my coffee. Here's my dick.
Yeah. I'm always down to receive one of those, disgusting. I guess, but. It is disgusting when you really like talk it out loud, but the gays are kind of disgusting. I could say that.
Yeah. The behavior that you exhibited was whore-like. The whore jumped out and then it jumped back in.
Literally. Well, I am also watching Atlanta. Look at me watching things.
Are you still watching Chernobyl?
No, I haven't finished it.
Oh, you can't finish anything, Kix. You can't even finish Chernobyl.
It's only 4 episodes.
It's exhausting. The last episode ended with you being like, oh, I'm watching Chernobyl.
Oh, shit.
I don't have anything to say about Atlanta.
I don't either. I do want some of Candy's sex toys. I would be down for that.
Or let's order some.
I know. I do. I think her company, though, is pyramid scheme adjacent.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. There's like promo codes galore.
Well, yeah, you can be a sales rep. You too can sell peaches to go in your behind your balls.
A peach behind the balls? Is that what they were selling?
Yeah, that was that peach thing at the party. They were saying it goes behind. It goes
Yes. It is fully pyramid scheme.
But here, she was right though. She was like, I kind of paved the way for like when sex toys were so taboo and like uncool 10 years ago.
Especially on these shows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the only way to, I feel like 10 years ago to buy sex toys was like at a sex shop or like adamandeve.com. Not sponsored today.
Adamandeve.com. I just hate that name.
I hate it.
It's so, it doesn't, like, is the point to make you feel like God is watching? I just don't understand why Adam and Eve.
Yeah, like I guess it's like sexy because it's sinful, but it's still like God's watching. Women sin.
Wait, so we must. Now, there's two scandals that happened this week. One was, I know Kix, I watched season one of Below Deck Down Under, which I did really love, and
Down
I'm
under.
Waiting to binge this season with my partner Brian. But I've not seen the scandal that happened. If you didn't hear, supposedly a male.
It's not really supposedly because it's on camera.
No, not supposedly. I'm saying supposedly because I haven't seen it.
Got it.
a man got naked, forced himself on a woman, and then a woman also forced herself on a man. And then the two of them the next day are like defending each other's like disgusting behavior. They fired them. Rightfully so.
It's like actions have consequences. It's crazy how that works.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Bethany, like, reality star lawsuit, residuals, all that that's going on?
I don't know a lot about it. I will say I understand partially where the residuals come in, especially because, like, when you think about how much television we all consume, period, there is so much, I feel like, and how, think about how much you've gone back, I'm going to call you out, to watch every single reunion ever known to man on Real Housewives of, period, Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. And, but part of me doesn't feel bad for them because they are rich.
Here's the thing to me that is different about an actors union and the reality union. I definitely think that we should be treating everyone better on these shows. Mm-hmm. I agree. You can still get good TV out of people without shoving alcohol down their throat and forcing them in bizarre sexual situations. There's so much more mm-hmm. to have happen than that. Like, it, and also I think, I feel like we are past the age where we need to be watching. We just need to always be watching people be wasted. Totally. Like,
unless it's the challenge.
There's just something that's, I don't know about you, but there's something about that that isn't as funny or fun as it used to be.
90s. And it's like, it feels crazy to say that, but it feels so outdated.
Yeah. And I also feel like just in life, I know so many people that don't drink anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's just not, there's so much more drama that happens in friend groups that are, I know of, that are not alcohol related, you know, like it's not, so that's one part of all of it that I think is going to continue to evolve. But the thing is about this is, of the people that sign up to be on reality TV, I would say about 10%, maybe less of them, become career reality mm-hmm. TV people. Mm-hmm. Because not everyone is good for reality in that way. Some people also need boundaries. Some people have other jobs. So it's hard to measure what would put you into some sort of union mm-hmm. when someone like Jules Weinstein on season 7 or 8 mm-hmm. of Roni was on one season, bared her entire life, and then was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, does she deserve to be a part of the union? Does she deserve residuals? You know, I'm not saying she doesn't deserve residuals if you're going to back watch that, but it's like, where do the lines fall? Also, if you're setting up a reality show, I just think there needs to be more responsibility on the person signing up to understand the grasp of what they're signing up for. Mm-hmm. And I know it's listed in a contract. I know a lot of people just sign it. We've all done that. Just sign shit and just be like, even just like terms and service we get places. But like, I think they need someone sitting down with them, even just on the team of a network being mm-hmm. like, hey, let's just go through this contract, what all of this means. And maybe they do some of that, maybe. But there are people that feel exploited, and it's like, well, the problem is you're claiming exploitation when you signed to be exploited in a sort of way.
It's also they're signing up to be them, like, in you know, to the best of their abilities or not, they're signing up to be themselves. They're not signing up for a role that they get to walk away from and not have that, like, they're not being right. themselves.
You're signing up to be you, meaning you'll always be you forever. So yeah. Like, you don't get to leave you when the project's over. Right. Like, I agree. That's a great point.
And I don't know if that's for or against whatever the fuck Bethany's talking about, but it's just like it's an interesting thought. And I do think that there's some sort of need there.
I something that I am hesitant to say, and this is a transition to kind of our next topic, but something that works for CBS reality is that their people, for the most part, aren't, their people are fully aware of what they're signing up for. Survivor is very, I mean, this show's been on for 40 years. I mean, not 40 years, or 40 seasons, yeah. 20 years, 20 plus years. Like, you're very aware of the situation you're walking yourself into, like, going in. There's extensive psych evals that go in before it. And also, because they're competition shows that aren't based around careers, like a Project Runway or a Top Chef, those people kind of, once they're off the show, just, if they want to be an influencer because they were on a show, they can.
Yeah.
But they kind of just go to life.
Like, Natalie is a good example. I can never remember her last name, but she was, she
won
Survivor and then was on the challenge and had to leave. And
and she was on Winners at War as well.
Yeah. And she's a perfect example because I still follow her on Instagram of like, this can be your life or not. And it was, she like went to the challenge, had something very traumatic happen, and then like with her physical body, and then had to go home, and then stopped kind of being an influencer and just started her own business. And like now works out all the time and just goes, lives on a normal kind of life. Like like you wouldn't walk, a normal person wouldn't walk down the street and be like, holy shit, that's Natalie. Like, it's not, it's a,
some people I'm sure do, but then also she lives a very normal life because you're signing, I just think that there's a level of awareness to what you're putting yourself into. And I do think they have done a much better job with the diversity. It creates good seasons because we're watching shows. Cause so if those that don't know, CBS instilled, way too late in the game, a diversity regulation where half of the cast at minimum must be non-white. And then like, I think there's some other more in-depth qualifications underneath that. But like in the first season that they had, the first season of Survivor that they had with that, the first season of Big Brother they had with that, was some of their best seasons ever. Because it's just, we're watching people of all kind of places in life come together. That's like why we watch the show. And it's also like, the thing about Big Brother that's very watchable is that you're watching an experiment on what happens when you put a group of people from different places together, also, which brought us to what happened this week.
Watching a formula. You know, you're watching something that Big Brother and Survivor are both really good at this. And I think that's why they've been on for the fucking longest is you're watching a formula that you are still surprised by. And there's new people every season for the most part that you can be excited by, root for, hate, you know, like you go through all of the emotions of like a first season of a reality television show without having the stress of the first season of reality television show.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, the like experiment of life brought us yet another awful moment out of Big Brother. And this man said the N-word on the fucking cameras.
So casual. It was
And he said it so casually that it's like,
I'm not saying that it's right in any capacity.
No.
How he said it was so casual, which probably means he uses it constantly.
Everyday life.
Yeah.
It was shocking. The video is crazy. And so I guess he's been taken out of the game.
The background, the people in the background, I haven't watched Big Brother yet. There's like a couple episodes out now. I think when this comes out, it'll be a weekend.
While we're recording this, there's only been two. There's an episode tonight and tomorrow. Yeah. So probably four, there'll have been four by the time.
The people in the back who are listening to him talk are gobsmacked.
Well, that's wild. We just said that at the same time.
Yeah.
No, they are like, this is insane that you have just said that so casually.
You're on national television. What do you think is going to happen?
And this guy also is like, the thing is other thing about him, this is not me making any excuse for him. I was surprised by him because I can be stereotypical in my brain with the people that use that. You use slurs and you lead with hate speech in general. My mind goes to South Republican.
Yeah.
Right.
He looks like
a surfer guy. He's a surfer guy from California. It just kind of I'm like, oh wow, people just be out here using that.
People just be racist.
People be racist. So happy he's out of the game. I'm hoping that I'm hoping that this does not lead to like the whole season being just about this. I want them to like kind of move on because I think we have some really compelling characters in the game, but I do want them to also in the same breath take some time to address it because it's fucking awful. But the show, the season has crazies. I think
you'll we're two episodes really enjoy. In and someone said the N-word so flippantly. No,
but take him out of it. I didn't even think he was of the craziest. There is a woman. Her name is Bowie Jane. She's a DJ. Australian DJ. Lives in Hollywood. And she's 45. And she decided, she was like, I'm not going to do an Australian accent, but she's like, I don't want people to know my real age, so I'm going to go as 32. And I'm like, that's a big gap, babe.
My eyes perked.
And she doesn't look 32. Crap. As a 32-year-old, I don't think I look like that.
Why not like 39? Like if you don't want to be 40,
I could be wrong. In my mind, she at least took 10 years off.
Okay. I'm going to need to watch it tonight. So I'll let you know.
And then also, one of my favorite players of any game in reality TV history, Ceri, is on it with her son. And it makes me so happy. I'm so excited. And she is just masterful at the game. And I'm hoping to keep her around at least for the first like 6-8 weeks.
I hope she makes it to jury.
So we can see her play the game. Mm-hmm. And on the first episode, even, she teaches her son. So they're pretending they don't know each other, obviously. And there's a moment in the premiere, this is in the second episode. She says to him, she's like, just to tell you, I heard you say to someone, we'll talk later. Like, I've been in the house with you for like an hour. I should not be hearing things like that. She was like, why would you do that? Because people have eyes on you. It doesn't make any sense. I'm like, you're an hour into this house and you already have like intel.
He is an actor first.
Star she is. Second. You're right. She's actress. Yeah. Cause she is a master at the game she plays.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't need to go around and be a star in like press circuits. And
no, she can be a star in our hearts and an actor on television.
Agreed. Well, speaking of Ceri, that brings us to the end of our episode. And we are going to cover next week Survivor season one, episode one.
I'm so excited. I don't believe I've ever seen it.
I have not either.
It might have come on similar to Amazing Race. It was like it always comes on like when we were in like really dark times, locked in our homes for 3 months. You would be like finish a season and it would start from like season one of Amazing Race. That's why I think I've seen Survivor season one.
Oh, because it started. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're really excited. Kix and I are very, very familiar with Survivor. We've seen probably 20 seasons, but there are 40. So
you know what?
There are 46 now. So actually we have not
it's
seen.
It's been six seasons since 40.
I think, or maybe 45 seasons. Yeah. Yeah. I started around like the China, I think was my first season, my oldest season that I've watched. But we're very excited. I'm worried this is going to open because I go through waves with Survivor where I'm just like all in. And I think this is going to open the floodgates of being all in. So, so you can watch that on Paramount Plus. I believe you could, it's season one, episode one. It's so long ago. I'm sure you can find it online for free somewhere, Pluto, but please watch
YouTube,
it.
Anything like that.
Yeah. Please watch it. And, we will be back with that next week. And follow us on TikTok, follow us on Instagram, and you know all this, you know all the stuff. Rate us, review us. We got one of our favorite reviews of all time. Go read it. It's sitting there right at the top.
And DM us and tell us what your origin of reality TV is, what made you a dumpster diva. We love to hear from you guys. It also can give us good episodes in the future.
Yes. Yeah. We love to hear if there are things that old shows that you want us to cover.
And this one, if one person says bridalplasty, I'm going to make Tom do it.
I'm down to do it. I just don't know where anyone will find it.
Apple,
I own it.
You have to buy the whole season.
I know. I own it. I know. Let's start with Survivor and let us know. But bye everyone.
Bye.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix
at Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod and on TikTok at Two Dumpster Divas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. and we will see y'all soon.
Bye.